Blog Talk Radio.
Done every time she
profit celebration. Yeah. What is life becoming? We don't talk too much. This be a strange new love I got. Plus she's always got that loud pack. Inspiration for this soundtrack. Every time she throws that ass back, all she says is, take me away.
Till the moment when you save the fly, save the getaway. so high. Step to the DJ quick. I told them drop that I'm missing beat. Give me the chance to put my hands on you.
Maybe DJ slow it down so I could put my arms around you.
Whoa.
Get you next to me. Girl, we about to be doing our thing. And then grinding them, baby, romantic. So into you, and I'm entrancing. Hands on your waist, we face to face. Slow dancing. Bumping and grinding, baby, romantic. I'm all in your ear.
Down a little bit. Good evening. And we're hoping that you're finding the most special places, making sure you're in the one piece, because you're having a good time, making sure you're in your right mind, making sure that you are emotionally sound and kept well. Welcome to Epiphany Radio Universe, the Starship, where boldly go, where poems have never gone before, but we also do amazing things like this particular ditty right here, and we're back. A minute since we had an installment of War Council. We'll bring it back to you. We'll be back. We're going to have some scintillating topics and things. We're going to go across the board. We can just limit it to one thing. I know we usually theme stuff out. But, we're going to be a little bit pedestrian this evening. Make sure things is happening. But more importantly, you got to understand what War Council is. And here on For Real Entertainment, Network, War Council, is a egalitarian conscious community panel discussion that discusses and dialogues around current events, relationships, the public sphere, and of course everything having to do with the culture. So for this point forward, culture and conversation and how we connect to it will be the major portion of what we do here. And we're going to be able to talk about a lot of things, and we're pulling from life experiences that you don't have to be an expert. You just have to be an expert in you. Okay? You don't have to be an expert, but you got to be an expert in you. Know yourself. All right? And so we're not going to sit here and qualify things, because this is a discussion. What you do with the information is your own, but we are protected by the First Amendment, of course. But more importantly, we are here to discuss things that affect us as a community. So, that being said, my name is Mojave. I have a lot of names. I do a lot of things here. Usually Tuesday night, I run around. Actually, do a bunch of things. You know, first of the month, I do five speak open mic, which is bring the best of best in the unseen, unheard, or unknown, but also the next blow. And we do it here. And we, in each one is its own universe. And I do that every first Tuesday. Second Tuesday, I usually do War Council, but I've switched up a little bit. Because, you know, you can't be monotonous. And so we do Honey Dripper 3.0, third season of Honey Drippers. Don't go over there without a prophylactic, and we're serious about that. And we're not responsible for any babies that's being made at that particular time because of the things that you hear. That happens. And we do it live, too. So don't play with us. We won't play with you. Unless you ask us to, because consent is sexy. Now, the last thing that I do, which is War Council, which is amazing, which is this city. And I get to be around some of the most dopest minds here on the network and beyond, that come in with great opinions, who are experts in themselves, know themselves, and have good dialogues and conversations. And if you measure up the wisdom from the life experiences, trust me, you know, not just talking about elders, we're talking about ancient elders, because a lot of us have a lot of experience in things that we go through, and we talk about it. And so here we are. So tonight, I'm going to open up mics, because that's what we do over here. I'm going to go to Alabama and go grab the homie, the stormy, Lisa Lips. How are you?
Hey, baby. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm working it out. I'm working it out. Working it out.
I'm in the midst of a storm here, so hopefully I'll be able to stay with you.
Well, I think you will. It usually works out. Now, we're going to go to one of my favorite people in the state of Texas, a titan, Texas titan herself, long time no see, glad to have her back on the show. Joan, are you there?
Hi, I am here. I missed you guys.
I missed you too. Missed you too. You know, we got more people coming. You know, stuff is happening. Now, I'm going to go from you. I'm going to go over here to Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to go get my homegirl, Xiao Xiao. It's the first time on the show. John, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm here. I'm well.
Yes,
how are you?
I happen to be in fine form. This is your first time on the show. So we're going to acclimate you shortly so that you have everything that you need when you're here. And you'll be able to rock. Now, I do believe Danielle is here, but I'm going to check to see if it's her, because I get her and Boss Man confused, but I'm gonna click it over anyway. Danielle, are you there?
I'm here. It's about to get quiet, but I'm going to mute myself until it gets settled down in here, okay?
All right, no problem. Fair enough. All right. There's some other people will be joining us very shortly, but real quick question, asking how everybody's been doing. So, Lisa, you know, you told us about this, but what's been going on with you? You know, quick catch-up on us, what we're doing.
Quick catch-up. I am almost finished writing my first book and about to send it to the editors, and hanging in here in this thunderstorm here in Alabama.
That works. That works. Joan, what's been up with you? How you been doing?
I've been good. I've been riding my bike across the country.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that, too.
On my tools, you know what I'm saying? Black girls ride bikes, too. Building apartment complexes for former foster kids. That's it. Working and playing, you know me.
Yo, that's amazing. I've been seeing you rocking out with your bike too, and I was gonna ask you. I was like, what's the top speed you took your bike up to?
The top speed, I think I got up to like 96 on open highway.
Ooh.
In Arkansas. That's the police listening. That was not me.
Okay. Well, we ain't gonna say anything about it, but
Don't but me.
What you call it? All right, no, that's what's up. Bikes definitely—they scared me. I thought I was gonna get a bike once, and then the bike went up to 50, and I was like, "Yeah, this one would do. I can do this. the Crockett rocket, I couldn't do it. I was like, that's
yeah.
Too fast. That's too fast with no protection. Like, oh, you feel you got some power between your legs. I have a penis for that, sir. That's the first thing. Hey, you know that, though. Ignore it.
Ain't nothing wrong.
Ignore it.
Everybody got it.
All right, and so, what you been up to? How you been doing?
I've been doing really well, thank you. Just doing a lot of working is it. So I'm trying to find time to get in listening to some of you guys' dope poetry.
Well, thank you. You know, we're going to work it out. We got the next trip that's coming up in December. And so if I do everything right, I think it'll work itself out. It's going to be pretty fantastic. And we're going to go from there. But in the meantime, between Tom and Danielle, you're in the background trying to get it quiet because we know where you're at and what you're doing. So we're not going to talk about it. So in the meantime, in between time, let's get started, huh? What did you say, Danielle?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Okay. So what you been up to, Danielle?
Give me a couple more minutes. And I'll be right back to you guys.
All right, no problem. I know Danielle is working on her book. I know because it's quite excellent from what I've been, without the pieces I've been able to do it. And we have a couple of people coming in a little bit later. We're going to scoop them up. But I want to get into one of our first topics because it interested me. And I'm going to save the, the babyface Anita Baker joint for a minute. But I want to talk about, to start out with, I want to talk about the Passport Bros and Passport Sisters, all right? And to just start the general conversation before I get into it, see what everybody's thinking about it, and, you know, get your general opinion on it. So everybody's mic is open. You responded, well, you know, over here, we take our time. You know, we don't talk over people. You know, we share. All right, so in your opinion, what do you feel about the Passport Bros and the Passport Sisters? Just like Double Dutch, anybody can jump in.
I'm not sure if I have an opinion either one way or the other. I mean, I have many friends who have married people from other places other than the United States. I don't think it was something that they set out for. It just happened that way. I got a problem with anybody who chooses somebody based on external things like where they're from, what race they are, whatever. I think you love who you love. So, you know, and if you're looking for a partner who suits you and not just a stereotype, then that's a good thing. If you're going out of your way to find somebody that breaks some kind of a stereotype or is some kind of stereotype, then that's a problem because you're not loving that person for who they are. You're loving them for what you perceive them to be.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, help me to understand what the, I guess what the big to-do is about it. Because I'm not really, I mean, is it because they're traveling to find love in other countries? I mean, and when I say love, I use that word very loosely. Is that why we're offended?
Well, no, the reason why the passport grows, could be offensive. Because according to, the Urban Dictionary, the passport bros are men who have chosen to seek out foreign women, typically from other countries, for relationships. They believe that Western women have been influenced by cultural and societal pressures to behave in a certain way, that by seeking out foreign women, they can find a more authentic, fulfilling, harmonious relationship. Also, is that it's a slang term that refers to a group of specifically Black American men who believe that Black American women are suitable to date or marry because they lack values that foreign women possess. In South American, South Asian countries such as Brazil, Thailand, Colombia, amongst others.
Okay, so I'm offended because I have not been chosen. I'm not on the list to be chosen. I mean, here's the reality for me. I could decide that I'm from Texas and I don't want to marry a man who's from Texas for whatever reason. If I go over to Alabama or if I go to Seattle or if I go to Canada, because that is the culture that I feel most comfortable submerging myself into, then that's what I'm going to do for me. Like, I think we get caught up a lot of times in people who don't think like us. And for me, however you think and whatever floats the boat or, you know, get your pass stamped or whatever, that's just what you want to do. Like, I'm not in the game of telling people what should make them happy based on proximity. Because when we see two ghetto people get married, we have something to say about that too.
Well, that's
so
true.
I think it's just a never-ending conversation. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, she could have done better. She got somebody. They both, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a god sister who grew up in the same neighborhood as me. And moved to Atlanta. She went to a HBCU in Atlanta and met a guy at a nightclub. Come to find out, they were literally from the same neighborhood, but they both traveled to Atlanta, were educated at HBCU, got into a relationship, got into a conversation and discovered they were from literally the same, like they lived like within 5 blocks of each other and never knew each other for 18 years.
You are going to love who you're going to love. You know what I'm saying? So you can go over to
another country with the intention of finding somebody based on what you think you know about that culture, and it may or may not work out.
I think...
People are just going further.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
That's the way I feel.
Part of the problem is that... what people are saying is that Black men are specifically stating that because of how Black women are, that they're not suitable for mating, dating, or marriage. And so they're going to these different countries looking for these women in particular because of the values they possess and taking care of their men, cooking for them, cleaning for them, and, you know, basically putting these ideas out there. Now, I'm not saying I subscribe to these ideas, but I'm saying this is one of the reasons why they keep going for these particular things. Joan dropped for us, but she'll be back. So in that sense, you know, what is your opinion on that?
Well,
I don't know. I think that in the connotation that it is written, it looks like people are going outside of the country because they're looking for someone docile who will be more of a second in command to them, or in a more servitude type position, in which case that's not about love, that's about being worshipped almost. And that's kind of, there's nothing equally yoked about that. That's looking for someone who will do what you want them to do, or do what you say they should do. So you're looking for some type of transaction where I'm going to give you the opportunity to come to this country, which a lot of foreign people who are in position that things are not good in their country will take that opportunity. And so it's kind of a transaction. I get to get out of my poor situation and come to the States with you, and you get to have this person that looks after you, but it's not necessarily love.
I mean, but is it really that, though? I mean, questionable. I mean, people have been doing, quote, unquote, the mail order bribes, getting women from different countries. But, you know, when we're talking about black men in particular, you know, them basically, you know, deciding to not date black women within their country because they find them unsuitable. Now, in a sense, that's the whole idea behind passport roles, where they're going to different countries. And passport roles also includes the element of sex tourism as well. You know, being able to go to a different country and being, you know, sought after. Being sought after for not just who you are, for your earning potential, what you can do, the amount of money that you might make, versus finding someone that literally they can get back on and do all the stuff that they need to do. Hold on, Jones is back. I see you, Jones.
I think it's all based in stereotype, though. I think it's all based in the male ego here that does not want to deal with what's been said to be the strong black woman, because they can't play her the way they want to. So they go seeking someone who is not as strong-willed, or at least that's what they think they're finding, in a foreign country.
I sound like literally some people are saying, you know, some black men are stating that they're not willing to deal with black women because of their pervasive attitude. I'm just playing devil's advocate. Don't take it out of me. Anybody who's listening, don't call me and hit my back channel and be like, yo, you're an asshole. No, I'm just going, you know, don't be doing that to me. So, like, you know, the funny thing is, it's just crazy. People have been going to these different countries. They've been going, like, and the funny thing is, as I started doing the research for this, right, there's this one brother, and I guess his significant other, like, he went over to Thailand. And so there was a bunch of black men in Thailand, just seriously, just, like, loads of them. And they just could not stop talking about how great it was to be in Thailand and to have this opportunity and to be with these kind of women who definitely take care of them, like, to the point where it's like, you know, he's like, she, you know, one of the guys was talking, he's like, she takes care of me on everything. He's like, everything that I've ever wanted, he's like, it's like a dream come true. He's like, I never would have experienced a woman like this in the States, with someone who, you know, they wake up and it's not about just the service that they're experiencing. It's the pervasive attitude. Like, one of the dudes, in my opinion, I don't know if he would encounter a woman of that, you know, that beauty and that stature in that particular thing where he was, but he could not stop talking about what it was, and all the brothers were talking about how cheap it was to move out of the country, to move to these different places, and they identified like places in Brazil, places in Colombia, you know, and even if they're not staying, they're there for the sex tours, right? So, you know, so there's that aspect of it as well, you know, where black men are showing up to these different parts of the country, I mean these parts of different international countries, and they're finding these particular women to be with and be around. And so that being said, you know, and the attitude saying, well, you know, like one brother, he's very, how can I describe it? He was like, he's like, you can get a black woman to do this. Like, you can get her to do that. Now, once again, I repeat, do not get my inbox and think this is me talking. I'm just relating the information to say that.
Yeah, well, I mean, and here's the kicker for me, right? It's really like, and I don't want to, you know, I'm a spiritual person, I really am, but it's like the misappropriation of Bible verses. Like, you know, everybody is on this. I want to go where I'm celebrated and not tolerated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here we are doing this. We are creating a lifestyle of, if it's necessary for me to fly out 13 hours for the possibility of finding someone who is going to, you know, as Destiny's Child said, cater to me, because that's really what it comes down to. Like,
right.
I haven't heard that there is a significant mental connection that we have. It's really about having a woman who I feel, this is Joan, I feel it's in a position of loving you through servitude, because that's what you need. And I just feel like people should be honest with themselves, because one of the things you said at the top of the show was we have to know who we are, right? And so when I am in a loving and safe relationship where I am 100% trusting of my partner, there is nothing I won't do to ensure that he is happy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being a very adult person, sometimes we have to measure happiness in time, right? Because there are some things that I warn him about or we talk about now for the sake of later, right? So there are certain things that we may not start, that, you know, there are certain mornings when we would love to be all over one another. But because we have other things that we have to accomplish, we got to get up and do what it is we need to do. And that does not mean that I love him any less. It doesn't mean that I don't want to do those things with him. It just means that I also have other priorities. But if you go over to another country where they are basically living in destitute conditions, you become the priority for that person.
Right.
Because here's the thing about, you know, when we develop our own savior complex, here we are. Like, you want somebody to worship you. And you found her. But, you know, I'm going to be back in 5, 10, and 15, 20 years.
Well, you know what? I'm going to a certain extent, I got to play devil's advocate because, you know, it's the job. In that case, right, which is different, like, some people can find the people that they want that are close by and anything else like that. You know, some people who do not, right? And so, you know, my cousin, all right. He is a big fan of Tyler. He's a big fan of Tyler. And every chance he gets, like, he's prepping himself to go move over there permanently, right? He's prepping himself. He's been there every year. He's had extended stays there. He stayed there one time for almost 2 years, and then he came back to make money. You know, like work whatever he can to go back over. He said, because everything has changed, everything else like that. Now, he himself has said that not only is he treated better, you know, that all things being what they are, he's like women see him differently. They see him as a man. They don't see him as, like, they don't see him as, oh, you know, what does this black dude want, you know, or anything else like that. Because sometimes we have a tendency here in the States to subtract from somebody if they're not attractive, if they don't have, you know, the money, they don't have the look. They don't have, you know, we have all these images foisted upon us because of our media and our social, you know, our social media and the intercultural practices that we have when it comes around relationships and dating, you know. And so mm-hmm. my cousin, who's big and burly like me, you know, a little bit shorter, who I still think he's one of the handsome dudes that I know, but, you know, when he's there, he's full on getting loved on. Women are coming after him. They're trying to figure out what works with him. He even brought a girlfriend back a couple of years ago. You know, I understand the whole idea of being in destitution and certain things, but at the same time, with, you know, the lack of the amount of culture
competition
and communication that we have. Yeah, right. Without that
it's
here,
a lack of competition.
You know, I'm just saying, but do you think, you know, because here, everything is about competition here. Everybody's competing at every level. And I would
and
like
so,
to point out.
And so for the women he don't choose, what are they doing? You see what I'm saying? Because
well,
those women are in competition for him.
But wait. Because we talk about competition, because here, right, we're, like the one thing that I'm noticing, like, and I keep pointing it out, I was like, listen, they have all these dating apps, and they're not just filled with sisters. They're filled with white women. And these white women are now changing, you know, the whole idea of maybe, you know, I got to be with the white guy, to moving over to the realm where, you know, and I'm saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, once again, don't get my inbox, don't bother me about this. I'm just stating different things as well as facts. In my opinion, right, they are now putting themselves into places that they culturally were not, and they're attracted. Like men, simply because they're white, not because they are attractive. Maybe because of anything else, because maybe they have different resources of different things that are going on, and so that causes even mm-hmm. more competition to borrow that from you. You know, so I'm going to land my plane on that, and then you know, I want to see other people hop in the fray. Welcome, Adrina, because she just hopped in here, and I opened up her mic. So, you know, anyone else want to hop in on that, because we're going to make sure we're moving the conversation around a little bit.
Okay, can I hear the question again? I've got silence now.
Well, we're talking about the passport bros, and basically one of the assertions of the passport bros was formed because of black men, in particular black men, not wanting to date with black American women stateside or within the country. And that
okay,
because
well,
of those men or going to different countries because they don't want to deal with the attitude, the pervasive, you know, the lack of intercultural communication and connection between black women in the country and outside.
Okay, well, let me put it like this. Everybody has a preference. They can go where they want and choose who they want. My issue with them is the fact that they throw us under the bus, black women. They dog us out verbally, talk about us any and every kind of way, and I think it's wrong. You can go where you want and be with who you want to, but why do you have to, as a whole, put every black woman down as if, to me, it sounds like they just feel inadequate to step up to the plate to be the black man in the black woman's life that they're supposed to be. It isn't that we are too strong for them or too, well, some of us can be very, very mouthy and disrespectful, especially in today's society. But for the most part, the whole, it's a lot of really, really good black women out there that will soften naturally for the man in her life. But he has to understand the position that he plays. These men go over to these other countries and they find women that are very docile and are willing to be talked to a certain kind of way. And a lot of these women are starstruck because these are American men and they feel like they're the sun, the moon, and the earth when they really don't know them at all. And they're like, really, really, I can't even think of the word right now, but they're very excited about doing whatever.
Enamored.
Because, yeah, yes, exactly, exactly. And these men, it's like they fall at these women's feet because they feel as though they're more beautiful. They don't have anything to answer to with these women. They just get, I guess, what they call their dream woman, you know. And I'm going to say it one more time. You have your preference. You deal with who you want to, but do not just discredit us as a whole. As far as black women go, like, we're just the scum of the damn earth. Because if it wasn't for the black woman, you wouldn't be in existence.
And two, also, yeah, I'm thinking that these men don't want to see a relationship as something that is owed reciprocity. They want to be the king of the castle. They don't want to have to cater to her in any way. They want someone mm-hmm. who's going to constantly be at their feet, and that's the problem with the whole thing, because they think that because they can't put a black woman under their feet in that way, then they don't want that woman. So we, as women who have had to be strong, who have gone through the things that we've gone through and had to deal with the things that we've had to deal with, and don't want to be subservient to someone else, that makes us unworthy of a relationship in their mind.
They feel like they can't deal with us.
Right, right. Or is it your own weakness that you can't deal with having a strong woman in your life?
That, I believe it goes in that direction. But I'm still... Well, I don't have a man. I haven't dealt with any in a while, but I can still be subservient. I can be submissive. I can be anything he wants, but he has to assure me, make me believe that he is worthy of me softening to him and being that woman in his life like that. You don't just get it just to be getting it, and you acting like whatever. Over there, they can do that. They can put that performance on and like, yeah, I'm Mr. Man, I'm the king, this and this and that. You see, my girl here should do whatever I say. No, it's not like that. And a relationship shouldn't be like that anyway. You know?
Right.
Hold on for one second, because I want to bring this article in from Yahoo News, written by I don't know what his first name is, but his last name is Pena, right? And he says, the passport roads have officially divided our internet. A growing group of thousands of black men preaching to more men on social media platforms that women in other countries are the best source for a traditional woman to settle down with. All right, just follow the hashtag. You can do it yourself. Hashtag passport brothers or passport bros. All right. And you'll see black men of all ages describing their experience with the opposite sex in countries compared to women in the United States. Most of the content travel countries of people traveling living abroad or just contact that. Alright. And passport growth can be seen as an annex to the same inner peace and happiness concept. A group of black men that don't feel needed and admired by black women looking for love overseas. They travel to different destinations worldwide to find happiness with a partner of opposite sex. Black women and other women of color have gone to their TikToks and social media accounts to speak against the passport growth movement passing. Black women in America already have much on their shoulders. For many, this movement is a straw to put the camel's back. Most of the brothers at the passport brothers are weak black men that don't know how to court strong black women. Some women believe that the passport bros' true intentions are to have sex with foreign women. When we talk about sex tourism, that's a whole other thing. We're going to put that in the parking lot and come back to it. They're not searching for love. Other women have gone as far to say that they are emulating their white masters who have been notoriously known for colonizing and going to third world countries to find submissive wives for decades. Some women stated that they're getting foreign women at the exchange rate, as foreign women only want these men for the little bit of money that they give them, and they aren't falling in love with them either, right? Black women who are anti-passport bros have called these men scum, predators, and in some instances pedophiles. That's actually very true, all right? even more interesting is the feedback from women from other countries. They are also going to their TikTok in support of Crossport Bro, stating some women in the Western world don't know how to treat their man. Some women lack femininity. We'll put that in the parking lot, so we'll come back to it. And when these men get to these countries, they treat them like they should be treated. They probably speak on their traditional values and beliefs, as even if they come from countries such as the United States and the United Kingdom. However, a group of black men also speak against the passport, claiming they're just a group of guys with no game. The bros couldn't land a successful black woman since they lacked intelligence, or similar to what black women were stating. The passport rules a group of lives looking to sex explore different countries because they would never accept their social circles where they're from. All right? So I just want to put that on the table, make sure that we're bringing that all up so we can talk about it. So,
I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna kind of go
also,
out on
the list. All right, real quick. I messed up because I unmuted. I thought it was Edwina, but it was actually Zed. And Zed's in here for the first time in a long time. Yay! Zed's in here.
Yeah, I'm here.
And Dawood came in the building too. Dawood came in the building.
Dawood!
Hey!
Peace, right? Dawood came in the building. What's up, and then my miraculous thing, Just Jay has joined us. And I'm just crazy. So I think I'm going to just throw Just Jay in the conversation because he's an interesting conversationalist. So I'm over the pin, Mike, because he just popped up in here. We got about... Hey, what's going on? Welcome to War Council. Is this your first time on War Council, sir? Or is it second? No, I think you came on War Council one time.
Oh, a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So right now we're talking about passport bros. Haven't gotten to the passport yet, but we're talking about it. And if you were here for me, read the article. We talk about the idea of traditional women but not versus modern women in the United States, which is one of the things the article brought up, talking about the passport. Okay. Who's that? Is that me? That's not me. Hello?
It was you. When your mic is closed, even though you're the host, your number is on here twice. When your mic is closed and you're the host, that whole time music will play like that. It cut off because I hit
your
microphone.
No, I don't think my mic was closed, though. I thought my mic was open.
Okay, well, I don't know who that was.
I don't know. Somebody singing in the background.
All right, carry on.
All right, so let's go with it. So now, because we only got a few more topics, and we got to get to one of our other topics, and then we have a special guest, and we're going to do the first time that we're going to do, because we are all people with good ears and poets and things of that sort, people who listen to good poetry. We have Miss Dion here, and she has a poem she'd like to share, and I like for the War Council to give good analysis and then talk about the relationship that results from it. But we're going to get to that. Those are the two things. We're going to finish up this passport, bro. We'll briefly the passport slippers and go from there. All right. So we have the gentleman here. How do y'all feel about the passport, bro?
Oh, man, bro. Like we're really gonna talk about this shit? that's a virtual thing, son. You know what I mean? To me, it's like in the real world that doesn't apply. That's an internet thing, because the people that I deal with and talk to, are not going to get a passport in order to find a wife, and it's an internet phenomenon. You know what I'm saying? And Here's what I'm going to say, and this is going to sound controversial, but it's the truth, because I don't listen to a lot of this red pill content. That stuff is a counterbalance to the toxic female side of YouTube and TikTok. And I want those people to fight each other and eliminate each other. That's what I want them to do. So, you know what I'm saying? Because,
That's my dude.
Well, no, because it's like ain't nobody, you know what I'm saying? In the real world, we are all trying to work issues out with real people. I don't need to get me a passport and go to Indonesia to find me a wife that's going to submit to me. I mean, it's crazy. This stuff is fantasy. But people get paid clicks and views in order to blow something out of proportion, which really isn't that big. None of us on this line know a passport bro. Not a single one of us know one. And so
my cousin's a passport bro.
I don't know, man.
Okay, cool. So you know what that's like, though? That's like a white person knowing a Ku Klux Klan member. You only know one. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's not even really worth... You know what I'm saying? Like my homie from way back in the day is in the Klan. You only know one person. It's not a real phenomenon because in the real world, like I just got finished doing a live talking about are you difficult? And... You know, in this live, I was talking about the fact that, you know, all of us have some level of difficulty. I know that there's certain times I get in the bag. You know, Mojave. There's certain times I get in my bag, and you got to let me go and, like, just, you know, call me the next day. Because I get in my bag, and I start doing something really stupid that I can't control. And, you know, you've been my friend long enough to know this nigga be okay tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And that's it. But for us to...
You're supposed to tell the secret, though.
You know what I'm saying? But we all have that.
Word up.
He'd be like, don't do that to me. You're an asshole. I'm not taking that no more. You know what I'm saying? And then he'll call me the next day and be like, yo, son, so we going to go get ice cream? And that's what it is. It's like, but I don't need to get a passport to find a new friend.
Right.
It's that, like, the reality of it is that for us to, like, to even entertain this shit, it's not in the real world. It's just like, I'm going to say this and I'm going to get off.
Wait, hold on. Listen, I can't let you get too fly on it. I can't let you get too fly on it, all right, because we got to talk about it. But and it is an actual phenomenon that is actually happening, and there's actually things that's going on. You know, I do believe that,
right? But I just...
Hold on, because since you brought up the red pill and everything else like that, and versus the thing on, you know, TikTok with women and divorce and all this other stuff, and we're going to come to that in a minute. But, and we're talking about difficulty because we're going to get into the things that, because we're tabling until we can get it. Because I'm going to give this like three more minutes, then we're going to move on to passport systems because we have to, right? But in that sense, right, when we're talking about, we're talking about the difficulty of it. Now, if someone decides, right, and they say, you know, because the article was like basically some men feel like it's not real, like you just stated, and that these men don't have game and they don't understand. You know, I believe absolutely there are incredibly dope. I'm talking to a bunch of dope women right now, like on this podcast, super dope women, like people. I'm like, yo, that ain't dope as fuck, you know. And I'm happy every day because I get to know dope ass people. But there's some people who don't have access to soulful people who are gathered like this. Like, you know, it's a different thing that some people don't get that connection between things, you know. Now, if you had asked me, like, after my divorce and how I felt, you know, if I went to a different country and somebody would have treated me the way that I felt I would have treated, I might have been a passport bro. You know, if you think about it, for those of us who have been divorced and we've been treated exceedingly bad by the person who divorced us, to have someone who's, you know, because my wife was not the person, my ex-wife is not the person, you know, where she would cater to do certain things. I mean, she had moments, but most of it was all bad, you know, and I'm not sitting here trying to disrespect her in a sense. I can just tell you the stuff that I've been through versus someone who basically is like, listen, I'm a, you know, the idea is, the traditional woman versus the modern woman, you know. So my question to you is this: how do you feel?
Oh man, there's no such thing, son.
I'm just asking.
There's no such thing, though. No, I mean, okay. I'm sorry.
What is the traditional woman?
I'm not trying to hog this. Yeah, let me just throw this out there real quick. I'm not trying to hog it. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to get off this. This whole traditional versus modern women is bullshit, too. There's no such thing. Relationships is evolving. It's getting to a point where we're looking at a new form of relationship. Everything that we know is changing around us. So there's no such thing as a traditional. You know what that's like? That's MAGA, Make America Great Again. That's what that shit is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist anymore. There's no such thing as a traditional woman or traditional man. There's no such thing as a traditional relationship. If that was the case, there wouldn't be so much divorce. And so when we sit there and we say we want a traditional woman, we're going to go to another country and find her, as soon as she comes over here and finds out the freedom that she got, that tradition shit goes right out the window because it doesn't exist. You are doing what you're doing in your country because you have to. But in a country where you got freedoms, you have to adapt to the country and the freedoms that you have. All of this stuff is making up terminology. Oops.
Sorry, my bad.
These terminology to me, it's all good. These terminologies that they are making up is used to divide us and make us put somebody in the category. I can't mess with you because you're traditional. I can't mess with you because you're modern. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's all, please let us not confuse people using clicks and views and words in order to get money for what's really happening in the streets. Because in the streets of Philly, you can't call somebody a traditional woman or a modern woman. It's just a woman. That's my take.
Okay. So hold on. So does anybody else want to hop in commentary? Because we got like 3 more minutes and then we gonna move on. So anybody else got a commentary for what he just spoke? What I just said.
I have a traditional wife. I don't know if that can qualify as a traditional woman. You know, it's not easy. She stays here at the house. She takes care of the kids. She makes sure I get out the house to so I can go to work. I give her the money to go ahead and pay the bills with, make sure she has everything she needs. You know, we look after each other. Some of the stuff that since I've been out of the game and I've been hearing about, I thought the guys were lying. I thought the guys were just ragging on women about how women are now. But as I've been, you know, moving around through these poetry corridors, I've been seeing that, you know, a lot of this stuff is true. I go to the clubhouse, they have a banner up there talking about, you know, he this, she that. And I go in there and I see that these people are talking about real problems that are going on. Those problems weren't going on when I was out here moving around, at least not that prevalent.
No, and I think that this back and forth thing with, first of all, I hate that "what do you bring to the table" shit. I can't stand it. Okay, it irritates my soul. Okay. It really does. That question needs to be tossed out to the universe and left there in the abyss. Another thing is, I don't think that too much has changed. Maybe, the women are a lot more outspoken now, but they are exposed to a lot more. We are exposed to a lot more. And these relationships, Jay, you have a traditional relationship. I'm not saying that it's, I'm not pulling anything away from it, but it's nothing special. It's a traditional relationship because you don't see it as a competition. It's a collaboration. And that's the way the relationship is supposed to be. Both of you are supposed to work together. You have something going on that is in sync. She's doing her part to run things the way they're supposed to be running, and you're doing your part. Okay, and that's just the way it's supposed to be. Okay, you said
right.
You have a traditional
person
wife.
Does 100%, not what they bring to the table.
Right.
Can I interject?
Something.
What you have is called love.
Absolutely,
love
and it's
part.
Respected. Your love that you have between each other is respected, and you keep it sacred as like it's supposed to be. It's not difficult either. But everybody want to be in competition. Well, I bring this and I make that. Okay, well, that's good. Let's put it together and make it work instead of trying to compete with your partner. That's not even what I call a partner anymore. okay? Some kind of race is crazy. And I don't get it. I've never been like that, okay? And I can't see myself as doing that. But these women nowadays, there is a certain pressure put on them because they have, you have now what they call standards of beauty, and all this crap is emphasized on. And it shouldn't be, and this is how these people live their lives. They really believe this shit that they're seeing, like you said, that we're on this social media thing for likes and marks and all of this other stuff instead of living your life the way you're supposed to. You know, they want this fantasy, and what y'all see online ain't really what's going on in real life, okay? Because I know some
right.
of the fools.
Right.
And I know what right, they so. Really look like naked, okay? I'm not talking about physically, but I'm talking about their real life exposed.
I got to ring the bell.
Now, I had to straighten that out real right, quick. I had to check that real quick,
topic,
though.
Guys, topic.
You sure did straighten it out.
Yeah, I had to because I know it can run real quick left. You know, I see people.
Hold on. Ring the bell again. All right. Now, let's, ring the bell now. Right. It gets excited. It's excitable right now. The eloquent one, Wendell, Mr. Berry joined us. Wendell, what's good?
Peace to the family. Good to be here with y'all tonight. Sounds like y'all got a lively one going on.
Well, no, we kicking it, but we about
gang's
to set the
back
set
together
the
again.
For real. But I'm a matter of fact, I'm a tag passport sisters to the end of this because I think we will put that on the end so we can get because we got two topics to get through. We got to time it appropriately. We're right at the mark that we're supposed to be on. So now we're going to talk about this beef between Babyface and Anita Baker. All right. So to set the tone, yeah. Because you know, this leads into, because Dawood had talked about when he was in the chat, and he's like, yeah. He said, what about this? And I said, yeah, that's good, right? So Anita Baker has removed Babyface from her tour, right, because basically it's been an online feud between her and Babyface's fans, and she said, you know, she's been silently enduring cyberbullying, verbal abuse, and offensive violence from his fan base, right? And so in the interest of her personal safety, she said appropriate refunds would be made if you decide not to come because she's removed Babyface, you know. And so, you know, so she could perform her thing in the entirety. Now, both of these artists are notoriously known to be hard to work with. They are both very difficult artists. And apparently, Babyface has fans. They're kind of like the Beehive. They don't play about their Babyface. So they went ham on Anita Baker. And it didn't work out the way Anita Baker thought it was, to the point that she had to remove them. Now, I know that Dawood wanted to take the lead on this one, so I'm going to let him take the lead. But we're going to make sure we have a good time because we got enough points we got to get through. So, Dawood, your assertion and
yes, sir.
Your theory. Please, sir. Please start.
Everybody on this call who knows me knows that I love the queen, commonly known as Anita Baker. And that is my favorite artist of all time. That being said, Anita Baker is notoriously difficult. She attempted to screw her husband when she got married out of any kind of inheritance. And multiple people have come out and said that when they worked with her, one day she's a princess, the next day she's a witch, a terror. But the thing is, remember what my job is in the poetry world. My job is the stage manager. It's my job to make sure that you don't go over time, that you don't do 2-3 poems when you said you were going to do one. And from what I'm hearing, Babyface gets up there and he wants to do 3 or 4 poems when he's supposed to do one. So this is the reason why there's argument. And I don't know. You know what I mean? For me, what it lends itself to is that when you deal with difficult people or historically difficult people, it just makes things hard because difficult people, they come with something where they just like to get under people's skin. I think that Anita Baker loves to work with you for a couple of seconds and then she remembers she got to make shit difficult and she flips the script. And it's the same thing with Babyface. These people exist in the world and we just have to learn how to deal with them. But the one thing I will say is this before I let go. That's Babyface. Like, that's a world-class artist right there. And I talked to a couple of people about this. You mean to tell me that you just want him to do Whip Appeal and get the hell off the stage? That's not going to work. And so, did I lose y'all? You know,
no, you
saying?
Didn't.
Like
no, you,
oh, okay.
You
like,
you didn't lose.
Like, bro, like he's not going to get up there and do Soon As I Come Home and get off the stage. He's going to do, like, five tracks. You should choose a inferior artist if you want them to get up there and do what you say, because Babyface is just – that's a mega producer we talking about. You know what I'm saying? His ego is just as big as yours.
Why would he? Why would he choose someone like that? You know, if I had seen that tour, like, nothing comes around my way. But if I was to see someone, I'd go to that in a minute because both of them are icons, straight up and down. Like, you
without a doubt,
she's not Babyface. Like, and that's the thing that she realized more than anything else is that people showed up to really see Babyface. Like,
right.
She thought people were coming
right.
Because here's the reality: she retired already again. So you've come out of her retirement because you made money last time you retired.
Right.
Yep.
But people who already saw you 3 years ago or four, however many years ago, they're not going to pay to see you again because you just retired. But if you bring Babyface,
right.
who never goes on tour, now you got people coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Babyface is not just performing Babyface songs. He's performing every song he ever wrote. But here's the part that nobody highlights. What we do, but we kind of brush over it, was the audience was begging for Babyface to stay. And that's where she got her ego
right.
bruised.
Right.
Well,
yep.
If I may.
I mean, and this is like talking to like maybe 10 people who have been in different parts of the country and seen this concert.
Well,
they're like,
on,
people
on,
didn't
Joe.
Want Babyface to leave.
Well, hold on, Joe, because Van wanted to add to it. So. Hop in here real quick.
Well, I agree with everyone saying Babyface is Babyface. Not only is he a performer, he's a producer. He has his own fan base. He's going to draw more of the ticket sales than she will. And if she's smart, she would have left him on the tour because she stands to make more money with him there than with him not being there. Now
you
go from having a full concert to maybe a fourth because they were there to see Babyface. Because I know me personally, I like both artists, but I'm going to see Babyface, period. Because I know he's going to perform the songs that I want to hear, the songs that I like, because he's going to perform the songs that even he didn't even sing. He's going to sing, y'all know I wrote this, right? And he's going to play it. He's going to perform it. And Steve Harvey said yesterday morning, he was like, she fighting with Babyface? He said, let me tell y'all something.
Exactly.
He said, Babyface is probably one of the most meek individuals that you will come across. The problem is, it goes back to exactly what we've been talking about from when I joined, social media presence. She's upset that his fan base is attacking her. Well, grow some thick skin. You've been in the game for a long time. You gonna let the fans dictate what you do and help and make you lose money?
Oh, the bigger you are, the harder the ego is.
That's the thing right there.
Yeah.
This is a classic case of you allowing the opinions of other people to make you fumble the bag. Sure. Because the fans are the ones who are buying the tickets. The fans are the ones that are paying their money. The fans are the ones that are coming to see the performance. And because
let me give you a bell for that one. You won't get a bell for that one. That's right on point. That's on point. That's on point. All right. You too, man. You got a bell. Two bells.
Joe came through with the mic drop, though.
Thank you, bro.
Joe came through with the mic drop.
Right, wait. Three bells. All right. Three bells. Yeah, okay. Go ahead with that.
yeah. I mean, if your ego is that fragile, that you would allow a few naysayers as it pertains to, you know, how big you are compared to how big Babyface is. You know, if you got to be right, you can either be right or you can be rich. And
you're right.
She fumbled an opportunity to be rich and wasn't right in the process, because Babyface is a bigger name than she is. And I love Anita Baker. I love her to life. And you know, I acknowledge the greatness of Babyface, even though he wrote virtually every song in back in the day that has contributed to a culture of, you know, unrealistic expectations in relationships as it pertains to what a man would give a woman. But that's a whole nother thing. That's what made him so big.
As soon as I get home from work, bro, you ain't never lie.
I'm sorry. I'm not giving you the sun, the rain, the moon, the stars, and the mountains.
Right.
I don't have that.
Come on.
You know.
Let me ask y'all this. Let's relate this to a relationship. What if we are all either poets or performers on this line, right? And what if you were in a relationship with somebody? And y'all both had status, but one of y'all drew a lot more people than the other. Does that become a problem?
Not for me, because I realized.
Is that going clear?
Not for me. If you going to make
you
more
gotta
money.
You got to help your partner look at the big page. The big picture.
You go ahead. You make that money. I'm right here. I got your back. What you need me to do?
As long as we went in together.
I was really created to be a Stepford housewife, so I am here for all the support. All of the backstage behavior and shenanigans, baby. I'm stealing the moon and hiding the stars for you so that when you get back here, you all the teams and the leans were going to happen. We're gonna do it all, baby. Just get back out there tomorrow.
Have you ever had a situation where you showed up to a performance, you rocked the house? If you're a woman, dudes were throwing themselves at you. If you were a man, women were throwing yourself. And your partner got so jealous that they did it in Anita Baker. They decided to try to sabotage your ship.
I have. Mm-hmm. I have too.
I
have not, but I'm nowhere near as big on the poetry scene as y'all are doing performances and whatnot. All I can say is that if some stuff like that were to happen, that would be the catalyst for a severe conversation, or that would just mean the end of that particular association. Because what I can't have you doing is fucking up my money because your feelings are hurt.
Yeah. How would you go about it though, one day? Because it's a hard conversation, bro. That's all.
But in real life, y'all, for real, like, my ex-husband is the rock star to my kids. Like, he's the preferred parent. Like, one day I go to a Zeta something or other, and I'm like, no cell phones. I come back, they got cell phones because daddy bought cell phones. You know what I'm saying? And so in real life, like, when it moves beyond your bag, but it really comes down to your, like, real feelings when your kids are like, "Where my daddy?" And not because they didn't see me, they didn't know me. It was, but he really is just the preferred, or he was, because they're teenagers now, just the preferred parent for them. I had to learn, because here's the thing, before I became a parent, I'm still a very selfish person. That's one of those flaws that Dawood has highlighted, not necessarily by me, but we all deal with something. I'm very selfish. I know that. But I felt like if I was willing to share anything that I have or give anything that I have, it would be to my kids, right? And so when you have two daughters and both of them prefer their daddy, when you talk about your fucking ego being shook, I was done. For a long time, I was done. It took a lot to come back from that, because these are people that I carried in my body for 42 weeks and 3 days.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Hey, I had the same thing. You know, I was providing for the kids and everything. They would come with their mama good night, and I'm
vulnerable. Thank you for being vulnerable. That's dope. I had a situation where I was doing live, and I had a partner. The partner was literally in my comment section attacking women. Literally in my comment section attacking. Yes. Literally in my comment section attacking women.
I witnessed it.
Two to three women.
I witnessed it.
Exactly. Yeah, two to three women jumped in my inbox later and said, I'm unfriending you, your lives, you, and your girlfriend.
Ooh.
It was terrible.
You had a troll.
That's what you call a
troll when it comes to being disrupted. Oh,
but hold
okay.
on, Jared. You wanted to say something? Hold on. Jared wanted to say something. Go ahead, Jared.
Oh, no, I was just saying as far as what the young lady was talking about, you know, sometimes that type of stuff run in waves. The kids don't need you for this period of time. And then when it comes back around, you just got to be ready to go ahead and catch you.
That's true. That's definitely true.
Well, I'm going to hop into
you're right,
this because my ex used to say to my children, and they will tell you, your father loves poetry more than he loves you. He'd rather be doing this than spend time with you.
Lies.
But that's what she ran with. And she, you know, to this day, like we talk about different things all the time, you know, and like, you know, I tell you all the time how like it split, you know, my son came with me, my daughter went with her, you know, I don't have any problems with my sons. Nothing we can't talk about, but my sons never felt like I chose something over them. But my daughter always felt that way because she felt, well, it's always this because. But she can turn a blind eye to certain things. It might run in season. But, like, now we're to the point that we're able to think. But she's a full-grown woman. She's an adult. And we still having conversations about stuff that happened when she was, like, 10, 9, around there because of stuff that her mother put in her head based off of that because she thought that I chose mom. And I'm like, listen, this is what I'm doing for us. And I'm like, I have to feed this inside of me. I don't become bitter and do something that I don't, you know, like do something that I'm going to regret and not be a happy person. And I'm like, I encourage you strongly to do these things, which is crazy. But with anything else that happens, when you go in that, like, you know, now it's like, there's so much of a difference between what my kids do. Like to me, my greatest joy is having them all together. And I'm happy. And they're happy. And they actually revert to like you know, even though they're grown, they fight like babies. Like it's the craziest thing. Like I couldn't believe how happy I was to hear all three of them arguing with each other like they were little kids. I'm like you're really 26 arguing with a 10-year-old. Like really. But you know, that being said, the stuff that happens when people go back to the Anita Baker thing, like it's a thing where you find out. Like, and the funny thing is, like, I've been progressive enough to let my ex watch how the relationship grows, even to the point that every before any big event, she always is saying something that's real crazy. And some of y'all have seen it because I put it in the chat, right? Because you know, even before this Mother's Day, she wrote, oh, this is the day that single mothers who've raised or have raised their children. And I'm sitting here like, you goofy as hell. I'm not even going to get on that because it's weird trying to draw me out. You know what I'm saying? So in particular, when the ego is involved with a lot of different things and such with Anita Baker, like y'all are saying, like baby face. You know, the man that run wrote monstrous hits, you know, and his songs, you know, and she's got a good runner. You know, Lord knows, you know, we did Anita Baker in the Honey Drip Room. That was one of my favorite rooms because of how much I love her and her thing. But she ain't got shit on baby face when it comes to these hits. She don't, you know. So it's just one of those things. However, you know, let's finish up what we were talking about because we got to move on to this next subject because we got a special thing that's coming through. It involves poetry. We got to have good ears. So closing comments. Anybody, we'll take two.
That was a great discussion, y'all. Thank you. That was a great discussion.
Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to sound the bell. Winner. Thank everybody for the applause so far. Thank you for being with us. Very good. All right. Now, on to something major what we're going to do. Boy, what are you doing? No. Go that way. Oh, that way. You out now. What? I am right now. Go. What do you think it is? You should be talking. Close the door. Seriously? You're doing too much right now. You know that, right? He's like, I thought you were doing the show. I was like, I am doing the show. He's like, oh.
Yeah.
Get away from the door, Goofy. All right, I'm sorry. My 10-year-old likes a lot of attention. Anyway, I'm bringing to us, first time here on the War Council. Let's please give a round of applause. I know Kyle Kyle. Also of the Drip from Memphis, Tennessee, Miss Dion. Miss Dion, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Mahavi.
All right, so we're going to do something that we've never done before. We're going to do some poem analysis, but it's based on relationships. Are you ready for the piece?
Yes.
All right, so I need everybody listening ears on it. Go ahead.
As this will be an opportunity to do some poetry analysis, and what I also said is I'm a member of the Drip, so some of it may be a little racy, so I want to put that out there up front. And the title of this piece is called Dry Bones. I've had my first affair, but it's not what you think. You see, it started when I began to pleasure myself out of necessity because I was no longer pleasing in the eye of the beholder who reduced my need for passion in the relationship to conjugal visits that savored the destination more than the journey. You see, that's where and when the affair began. Physically, there was release, but my soul was hungry and searching and frenzied to fulfill longing that was years in the making and wistful for a touch that would bring life to dry bones. Because, you see, joy is on the other side of wistful. And so the affair continued. Every time I danced by myself, sustained by myself, was raised by myself, and made love to myself. And then I walked in the garden of life's desire, and my soul connected to the essence of the physical being who was searching for me in the crowded moment that I'll call Shades of Blue. And he looked at me and whispered, "You touched me." Breathing inspiration to the dry bones, because he savored the journey more than the destination. And yes, it's my first affair, but it is not what you think. You see, affair would minimize the quintessent necessity of this moment, being integral to the migration of my soul, becoming exceedingly abundant, growing to a place that can only be described as epic, because he poured his most expensive oil to bring life to my dry bones, and tears of liberation rolled down my vaginal wall, flowing extravagantly unto his talented tongue that tenderly explored my shadows that were hiding in plain sight. And he is beautiful. He's gentle yet powerful, hasty yet slow, transforming me radically and little by little, resurrecting me by comforting me and sustaining me and being brave for me and making love to me, encouraging me to release my hold on conjugal visits, restoring my belief that the protector of my peace is the incubator of my passion. And yes, I'm naked, but I'm not ashamed. And yes, I'd do it all again if it meant bringing life to my dry bones. And that's that piece.
It's not too late for
all me. Right.
I have to tag that.
Wow.
Getting their bones wet.
It sounds to me like you were having sex with Jesus.
I know exactly that. She might have called out Jesus.
Damn.
Jesus.
Yeah, you went scriptural, you went metaphorical, and you went erotic. I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say amen, snap my fingers, or pray and repent, because I'm having all kinds of thoughts with this verbal imagery that you're painting.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, so that was a pretty good analysis there.
That was a dope piece. That was a dope piece.
So in the question piece. How would you feel if you were in a long-term relationship and that person decided to not love you anymore and you found someone who was looking for you and that person who was looking for you liberated you sexually, let your passion fly free, let you feel all the desire that you have been lacking? Would you consider that cheating?
Depends on how long it's been since you and your partner has done anything.
I'm placing this question before y'all as the War Council with your poem analysis, because you got the poem, you heard everything. But what does that mean? We should consider it.
It depends on how long. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead.
It depends on how long it's been since you and your partner have done the horizontal hop. There are laws that state if it's been more than 6 months, then you can go ahead and be with somebody else. If it's been more than a year, then you would go ahead and be with somebody else. And it depends on how it plays on your morals. So, I mean, certain relationships are just meant to be a particular kind of way. Even if you are with a certain person, that doesn't mean that that's your person to be with. I don't think people stop loving each other. I think they just, I can't even think of the word right now. Y'all know I was in an abusive relationship for years. I never stopped loving my husband, but it got to the point where I disliked him. Because he made me feel like I was in a competition all the time with every other woman that he came in contact with, whether he was intimate with them or not. So that dislike turned into me just not wanting to deal with him at all. And then I did meet somebody new after we separated, and I thought that moon was a sun, the moon, and the stars, but he turned out to be a butt too. But I think It's a mental thing, because you say somebody stops loving you, geez, there's a heart. It's tricky.
But hold on. I want to make sure we get some balance here. Now I want to hear from one of the fellas. If you could speak to
this. What's the question again?
If someone has stopped loving you, right? If someone has stopped loving you, and then if you listen to the poem said, you know, conjugal visits that valued more, you know, that valued more the journey and not the destination. So literally, I mean, value more the destination, not the journey, which means basically it's just sex to come, you know, just sex to have sex, not sex because you want to enjoy each other and things of that sort. So what happens is if someone denied you of all those things and you found someone who restored your passion, your desires, would that be considered cheating?
Wow. I'll let the other brothers answer because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
This is what you get yourself in trouble more now. Really?
Yo, because that happened. No, I mean, that happened, and it... No, that happened, and it does happen. It's like, I think that, I think here's what I'll say. The older you get, the more your body responds to certain things and rejects certain things. And your body will tell you if you're feeling somebody or if you don't feel somebody. So if you say somebody stopped loving you, well, you probably stopped loving them also, even though you're lying to yourself and trying to put it on that other person. It's mutual. So then you get with somebody else, and you be thinking like, oh, man, I must be too old or whatever, and that other person brings you alive and you start hitting the ball out the park. You're like, what happened? And the fact of the matter is I just think that the body keeps the score. It responds to what it wants to respond to, and it rejects what it wants to reject. Is that cheating? I don't know. But what I do know is if y'all both decided that y'all didn't love each other anymore, it can't possibly be cheating. Y'all just playing games by staying with each other. That's my take on it.
I'm interested in hearing from definitely Jordan Wendell and Lisa.
Go ahead, Fred. You got it.
I wasn't going to let y'all slide.
Y'all
was going to slide out of this one.
Well, I'm going to be honest. As a reformed cheater, let me start there. Damn it, my daughter's in here, y'all. I'm sorry. I forgot, girl. Who can sing off a 17-year-old? But as somebody who has made decisions, I'm not going to say mistakes, but I'm going to say decisions. Yes, it is. Anytime you can't have an honest conversation about what you want to do as an adult with another adult, and you put yourself in a position of being a cheater, and whether you're cheating the other person or you're cheating yourself becomes the question that you should really ask. Because, as it was stated, if you are no longer in love with that person, or they don't do it for you, or you don't do it for them, or whatever, then you start to rob yourself of the pleasures of living. And why would you do that when it's as simple as having a conversation and determining that you're going to have to part ways?
Right.
Because some people are able to reconcile a relationship after someone has gone astray because they prefer to be with the person they previously committed to.
Right.
You know, but it requires honesty, and that's the part we don't like. We don't really like to be honest about our own needs because of obligations that we decided when we were often different people. Like, I was a different person at 25.
Right.
Than I was at 38. And so what satisfied me at 25, mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, no longer did it for me. I had lived too much life. And so what I found was that I was involved with another person, not even sexually, but I was involved with another person, and the thought of that person excited me sexually.
Mm-hmm.
So really who I was cheating on was me, because I wasn't willing to take the steps necessary to go out and get what the fuck I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old to play with me now.
Right. All right. So,
if you ain't that
old,
you just
think
ain't
it's fear? So do you think it's fear that stops you, or complacency?
Both.
Yeah.
Because complacency often looks like comfort to us. And if you already have somebody, it's, you know, nobody wants to trade what's for show for what you don't know.
Right.
That's why we think Amika
so,
Newbaker should have kept Babyface on the tour. We don't know what she's going to do by herself, but we know with Babyface on there, she was going to make it.
But the Babyface started up his own tour. But I'm going to go from you, Jones. I'm going to go over to Wendell. Because I think your conversation will be most certainly interesting.
Well, there's not too much I can add to what was just said, because that's it 100%. People cheating by definition involves deceit. And a lot of times, most of the time, that deceit is perpetrated against the partner. But there is an aspect of the deceit that is perpetrated against yourself. Because when you're in the relationship, the you that you have been for the duration of that relationship is different from the you that you want to be. And making the transition from the you that you are now to the you that you want to be means that you would potentially have to give up something that you were. And the fear of giving that up gets kind of compounded by the fact that there's someone else that has become accustomed to who you were. And now the risk-reward calculation goes into play. And so you cheat. A person will cheat because they don't want to risk losing what they have, but they still want the reward of what they are trying to become and what they want to do. So cheating is really more about escaping who you are and tasting a bit of something that you want to be. And when you do that without giving the person that you're with the information and that they need and the opportunity to choose, then you are robbing them of their agency, and that's never a good thing to do. You never know. There are people can not only tolerate, but they can adapt and adjust and embrace a lot of things if given the choice. When people cheat, however, they're doing it because they're robbing the other person of the choice because they're afraid of what that choice would be. And a lot of times they cheat because they want someone else to make the decision for them on ending something that was already dead. I mean, in the situation you were just talking about, you know, the person decided that they don't love you anymore. That's a decision that they made. But at the time that decision was made, then, you know, the choice to part ways was now on the table. And you're cheating because you don't want to actually make that choice and deal with the after effects of actually parting ways as a result of someone not wanting you anymore. You're holding on to a hope that's dead, and now you meet someone else who now brings you alive again, but you're still dealing with the corpse of a relationship that you haven't buried yet. It still is laying in the morgue. You're trying to be resurrected to a new life, a new relationship.
So hold on. I want to make sure that we get more voices and, you know, make sure we keep balance. Lisa, your opinion?
Yeah, my bad. I can go on for a while.
No, it's very, very good. It's very, very good. No, there's nothing to be sorry about. We just want to make sure we got balance going on. So Lisa.
Most definitely.
Yeah. I agree with what's been said before me. Choosing to cheat is a selfish act. You're doing what it is that you want to do to satisfy yourself, and you're holding on to the thing that you consider stable in your mind as well. And it ultimately, cheating is about what it is that you want without any regard for what not only your current partner, but the person you're cheating with may want. So you run that risk of breaking somebody's heart along the way, and 9 times out of 10, especially if you know who your partner is and if you've gotten away with murder before, you're going to do what you want to do, and knowing that they'll take you back no matter what. And the person that you cheated with, whatever stories you told them, doesn't matter because you got what you wanted out of it.
Well, you know, I want to reframe this real quick.
Hey, let me spin the block, bro, because I didn't know this was about cheating.
All right, but
I kind of misunderstood.
Oh, hold on. Let me reframe it. Right. I want to reframe it, and then I want to make sure that I want to get Jared, Dion, you back to the conversation. And we only got like 8 minutes, so we got to do this quick. But first affair, not multiple. First, right? And in connection to this affair, the affair is where someone is not treating you the way. Now, if you've had a long-term partner, right, and that person begins to not do or want to or be expressive of their emotions, they shut down, they shut out, they do different things, these things don't occur. And to the point that they basically are not telling you, or they tell you that they don't love you anymore or anything else like that, and you're just basically business partners, because sometimes marriage is like a business partnership, all right? My thing is that there are people, you know, not just in those type of relationships where they're emotionally they're with an emotionally bankrupt person, or they're with a person who's so fucking abusive and just does all these different things because they want to control every aspect, everything else, and they want to be able to control you or your body. You know, the reason why I ask if it's cheating, if that person is that, you know, and there's been hellified good answers. So I'm going to land with that. What if the person who's not the affair partner, the AF, the person who's the long-term partner, really fucking suck as an individual? Like, they could be great about all these other things, but they suck at this one thing that really keeps your relationship alive, or those type of things. What happens? So I want to make sure that I go to Jared, go to Dawood, and yeah, you know. So
gotcha.
Yeah.
Bro, I do not do well in these type of situations right here, man. I've been in these type of situations right here where it's just that one thing that the person is doing, this, and at that time it was stopping everything from moving forward. And you start to see the years start to roll up under you with this person. Me, I act out. I show behaviors and stuff like that. You know, it could be a real water roses type of deal. For one, did not want to let the woman go. For one, I thought she wasn't going to make it without me. Ooh, how foolish I was. she had a kid with it, and you know, I was basically showing her how to shop, you know, do these basic type of things and the rest of that. I think she got it, man, but at the same time, I should have got out of that relationship a lot earlier than what I did, because it had started to become toxic. And then it had started to pour into me, and that was not good. That was not good. So I had went ahead and adopted a thing of, if it's not working, I ain't going to even try to make it work. You know, that was maybe a too-far swing on the pendulum, but that's what it had became, man. I remember when me and my wife was together for like 12 years, man, and we was married. And, you know, we got into it, and I was like, well, you know, if you want to go back to Detroit. And I was thinking myself, like, that don't even sound right no more. So another thing, a problem that I had, man, when I was out here running these streets and I was cheating this and the other, man, I noticed that when I have too many options, I have too many options. And I don't try to make nothing work in one spot. When I went ahead and chilled out on that, I had to make it work with a busted situation with a bad hand. But, you know, this spade partner can go ahead and make some things come together. And sometimes when a person see you doing that, that might be enough of a catalyst to go ahead and get them to come off the fence. They might have a grievance with you that you're in the area that you don't even know about.
Okay. Dawood.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, y'all. I did not know that this was kind of like that kind of discussion. I actually embodied this. My situation ended, and I just moved out. I had an honest conversation, and I moved out because I wanted to go find love, because I don't believe in staying in a situation where you're captive. And what I found, unfortunately, is that there was desires I had while in captivity, and then there's desires I have when I'm free. And those desires when I was in captivity were very desperate and would have been destructive to my life. But now that I'm free, I can pass up a lot of stuff that I would have done in captivity, because I'm like, damn, that person doesn't look as... they don't look as attractive as they look. You understand? And so for me, I had to free myself. I don't like to lie, number one. And number two, I don't like to deceive. And I know that the guy that I am, and I'm not tooting my own horn, women don't want to just cling with me. They want to be in a relationship with me. And if I have to tell them I'm living with somebody, then they'd be like, you know, it just makes things crazy. So I had to free myself. And I got criticized for it. I did. I got criticized. People were telling me, why don't you just stay there and have your cake and eat it too? I said, that's not fair to me. That's not fair to them. And that's not fair to my children. So I don't believe in that shit. I don't believe in it at all. You understand? Because I don't like to hurt people. I know I hurt people in life, but I don't like to hurt people because I'm not man enough to make a decision that I knew I was supposed to make. And it was very hard. It was very hard. The conversation was hard. But now we're the best of friends. We're good co-parents, and we love each other. We're just not in love with each other, me and my ex. And, you know, I'm free to pursue whatever I want to pursue. But I think that when you stay in a situation and you stay in captivity, the women or the men that you go after while you're in captivity represents a very desperate soul, and they would not be the same people that you would deal with if you were free.
Tell them.
So I'm going to go over here to Dion.
Well, I mean, that was some really good insight. And just to kind of dig a little deeper into the poem, the one thing that I was trying to highlight in this particular piece is that cheating doesn't actually start with the physical act of meeting and engaging with another person. It starts long before that. And, you know, that's kind of why at the beginning of the poem, you know, it really highlights that it started when the partner was no longer the protector or the provider or the incubator for the things that, you know, the other person is passionate about. And I think recognizing it at that stage is where you can either right-size the relationship or know that it can't be and make some different decisions to prevent yourself from being in, because any relationship that has three people, of course, is one person too many. And so to get to that point is like, you know, and I agree, it's cheating yourself. So, and that was really where the genesis of the poem was, is that it starts long before another person becomes an issue. That's kind of like the end of it. That's the end of cheating. That's when it actually comes to fruition. But it, you know, it starts when you're doing so many things solo. You know, as a solo practitioner, that you're single while attached, and you know, to your point, being in captivity, things look, you know, uniquely and significantly different than they would if you, because we do have the decision making capacity to not be in captivity. So I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay. Hold on. You know what? Because we are now in overtime and it is a school night. I do believe I have a question in the back channel I haven't gotten to yet, but you know what? I'm going to kick the passport sisters into the next war council that we have, and we can build up good conversations, good topics. But I want to get to closing thoughts on this. You know, how y'all feeling? We'll just go through, say a few things, because, you know, it is a school night, and this dude has been running around since, you know, I ain't around to enforce the law. He's a little goofy. So, he's a little goofy. So I got to walk him to him. Like, no. He's like, oh, you doing your show? You really start doing that, too. I'm like, I'm going to catch you. He'd be like, I know, but you got to catch me. I'm like, this. The door's locked. Anyway. That being said, no, I don't abuse my child like that. But so the idea of this, all right, so with this piece in particular, I'm going to ask this final question, right, and I'm sorry to do this to y'all, but I got to do it, right, because this is what I'm going to tail end over what Dion was saying. When does cheating begin? When does cheating
begin. And we're just going to run right through everybody from the top and go on down to the middle. All right, so we're going to start with you, Lisa. Let's, when does cheating begin?
For me, I think cheating begins when you start seeking the things that you should seek from your partner, from someone else. Be that conversation, be that the attention, whatever it be. When you start looking for the things that you should look for in your partner and someone outside of your partner, that opens the door.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joan.
Cheating begins for me when I look.
When you look.
If I look twice, I'm interested. That's the beginning.
Mm. Wow. All right. Wendell.
Cheating begins the moment that you choose become a coward by not having the difficult discussions about what has you feeling defeated, distracted, dismissed, or whatever. And then you take action the action of escapism as opposed to doing the hard work of confronting your issues.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're going to go to Danielle. Danielle?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was having a conversation with somebody else. What are we doing? Real quick. I'm sorry.
I said, when does cheating begin?
When you start thinking about somebody else, regardless of whether you've had contact with them, not physically, or even met them in real life. You start thinking about that other person. You know, eventually all roads lead to sex, so I believe that's where it starts.
What if the sex is good? Let me stop. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. What if the sex is good? What if the sex is the bomb? What if it's crazy?
You long for what you miss, what you haven't had.
Okay, I'm going over here to Jared. I know, Jared, you said you don't do well in these situations, but, you know. Jared, what's your opinion?
Man, cheating starts in the heart, man. It's like if you walk in Walmart and you see a nice-looking young lady over there grabbing some chips, you know, you go ahead and just walk on through. But if she say, hey, how you doing? You know, it's that response then, but that happened way before she even said that. Your ability to be receptive to that. Sometimes there is no lack. It's just, you know, the heart want what the heart wants. Especially if a man feel like, you know, this is not accessible to me, then all of a sudden accessible. And then, you know, you're at that fork. I had to go ahead and be honest with myself as far as with cheating. Still a recovering addict, you know what I mean? But, you know, I can live with that. I can live with that as far as the benefits. I know I'll weigh it.
Ooh. Well, I'm gonna end with you, Dion, and then we're going to move on, and I'm going to close this out, school ain't try to real. So, Dion, in your opinion? When is cheating begin?
I think that cheating begins because first of all, I believe in evolution, right? Everything can transform from a simple to a more complex form. So I think that when we know that we're evolving and we either can't share, don't share, or have shared, and our partner does not evolve or cannot evolve with us, that's when the capacity and the potential for cheating starts, right? Because there's a certain dissatisfaction that will come when you can't evolve together. And so I think that acknowledging and being able to communicate at that point so that you remain friends at least is when cheating begins, because you're either going to cheat them or you're going to cheat you, as someone said earlier.
Mm. Wow. So that being said, we've had some super dope conversations, which have been pretty amazing. And I want to thank everybody for coming out to a war council, because we back. We back, baby. We back. Hit the bell. Hit the bell. And with the applause, I want to give everybody a round of applause for coming out this evening here on the Egalitarian Conscious Creator Conscious Panel. I want to personally thank Lisa Lips, Joan, Quinita White, the Texas Titan. I want to thank the eloquent one, Mr. Wendell Berry. I want to thank Dion for Ms. Alshaw for reading the poem and rocking out with us and starting this conversation with us. I want to thank you, Danielle, for coming through. I want to thank you, Just Jay, for rocking out with us. Coming in on a Tuesday, that ain't a fly speaker or honey dripper. It's nice. Yeah, it's nice. But I want to thank all y'all for coming. We'll be back. Next topic for people who are listening to the show that are here, that's going to catch the replays, because I know some people are going to do that. And those who got cut off during the stream, I got all the messages. I'm sorry I didn't respond to y'all, but this is a turn conversation, so I couldn't really get into everything else. I missed maybe two questions, but we'll get to it. If there's a topic that you want us to cover that involves our community, the African American community, or hits the public sphere that affects our culture, you know, our connection and who we are, as a people, we are more to bring up these topics if you want to bring them to us. And of course, it's a phenomenal bunch of people that you came through, and I know that y'all enjoyed as much as I did. It's very fulfilling and soul fulfilling. And shout out to Dawood, because I know he had to drop. But thank y'all for coming. Don't forget to come here on the 15th Radio Universe of Real Entertainment Network, sponsored by Raw Links, why we average to be raw. Check it out on Facebook. Hashtag Google if you don't know. Get your bracelets, everything through him. It's definitely quality gem work and materials and bracelets. But for War Council, we continue to rock on to proceed to give great conversations. I want to thank everybody who came out tonight contributing to this conversation. It's been amazing. I'm thankful for y'all. I'm thankful that I know y'all, and I feel fulfilled every time I'm around y'all. Thank y'all. All right? So give yourselves a round of applause. Some rounds of applause, y'all, real quick. All right, thank y'all for listening. All right, and everybody else, God bless you. Good night. All right?
All right.
Good night, everyone.
All right, thank y'all for rocking with us. All right?
This episode
will self-destruct in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.